It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. In Pakistan this weekend, extremists staged a bold attack on army headquarters, took hostages right in the heart of the country. By the time the siege ended, at least 19 people had died, including all of the militants except one, the man who masterminded the attack. Now Pakistan is left wondering just how vulnerable is their country's largest and most central province. From Islamabad, NPR's Julie McCarthy reports.
Emerging from the weekend drama is the importance Pakistan's most populous province, the Punjab, plays in the Taliban militancy. Mired in poverty, southern Punjab has become an important area for recruitment, training, and logistical support for insurgents, according to defense analyst Aisha Siddiqa. She says the logic behind the insurgency in the wild Afghan border region, where people's grievances are related to the war across the border, is different from the Punjab, where indoctrination could be more dangerous.
In one way, it's much more intense because at one level, it's purely ideological. When I say ideological, it means that their reasons have a greater religious connotation.
The sole surviving attacker and alleged ringleader of this weekend's assault on the army headquarters is Akhil, otherwise known as Dr. Usman. He's a Punjabi, whom authorities say also led the attack on the Sri Lankan cricket team in Lahore earlier this year. Akhil is believed to be affiliated with the terror group Lashkar-e-Jhanwi, an organization that Imtiaz Gul of the Center for Research and Security Studies says has been instrumental in providing foot soldiers and carrying out attacks conceived by Al-Qaeda.
They are very radical, rapidly anti-Shia, anti-America, very close to the Taliban, followers of Osama bin Laden. So they have all the elements of what would qualify them as a rapidly anti-Western, anti-Shia outfit.
Aisha Siddiqa says militant groups such as the Lashkar-e-Jhanwi are comfortably ensconced in the Punjab. Despite the mounting evidence that the sprawling province, which is home to the capital Islamabad, is hosting terror cells, Siddiqa says many in Pakistan refuse to acknowledge the threat.
It's very real, and the sad part is that less so on the political level, but more so at the level of the military, there is a state of denial about existence of militancy in Punjab.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton appeared to downplay the unsettling events in U.S.-allied Pakistan this weekend. She said the United States sees no evidence extremists are going to take over the Pakistani state. Nor is there a risk, she said, of Pakistan's nuclear arsenal falling into terrorist hands. But Imtiaz Gul says the fact that Taliban militants were able to meticulously plan and execute an attack on the doorstep of the country's most powerful military institution is deeply worrying. But he adds, even if the authorities were forewarned, which they reportedly were, it wouldn't make much difference.
The terrorists choose the timing and the venue and the date of their own liking. Security agencies, even if they get enough warning, can't prevent people who are ready to kill and who are ready to die.
The daylight attack on one of the most secure installations in Pakistan suggests a need for greater intelligence and security. Retired Colonel Inam Wazir, however, insists that Pakistan lacks technology and the basic equipment it needs to crush the insurgency.
The force is there. The capability is there. The only thing is the bullet which is to be fired. That bullet is just a shell. There is no bullet in that, so definitely once the money is not there, so there will be no bullet.
And in the aftermath of the attack, commentary has focused not on the country's overall vulnerability, but rather on Pakistani pride and the way the army brought the surprise siege to an end. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Islamabad.